Condemnation is one of the tactics of the enemy to hold you, to keep you, in check, where you're not, where you don't think too highly of yourself, where he can still hold you down. You're rotten. You're wretched. You know, remember what you've done. Remember what you've done. That's how the devil, that's the tactic of the enemy, to keep us low self-esteem and self-condemned, ashamed, guilty, you know. That's a tactic of the enemy. So if you're ever feeling that way, buddy, you better say, get thee behind me, Satan. I am born again. I am a child of the Most High God. I am free. Let's go to our scripture today and find in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1. We there? Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. For there is no condemnation. What a great verse. I don't know about you, but I was feeling pretty rotten when I came to Christ. I was feeling pretty rotten of what I had become. A blundering fool. A lonely sinner. Started out with many friends and it got to, I didn't even want any friends around. And it was mine and mine and all mine. The devil wants us in isolation, people. Because that's his playground. He can have his way with our minds. When we're alone, somebody. When we're alone and it's quiet, we better be praying. Because if we don't, the enemy will come in and start to have a field day with your mind. And you'll start thinking bad thoughts about your spouse. You'll start thinking wrong about life. Fill your minds up. Fill your minds up. That's what Paul tells the Philippians. Think about these things. What's pure and beautiful, what's beautiful and right. Amen? You know, think about those, because that's what's going to get us over our hump. But today, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This chapter is not for the aim. It's not for those who are still undecided if they want to live for Christ. It's not for those who are still living half in the world and one foot in church. This chapter is for those who have lived a life bent on sin, or who had no peace, or have lived your life sailing in and out of storms, victorious and sometimes not victorious, but we've all come to our home port and set our anchors down. Somebody say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Yes. I'm a believer. This is for those who have already decided, I'm in this. I'm in this fight. Here in chapter 8, we find ourselves If we truly are in Christ, in the arms of our Savior, obeying the law of the Spirit, which gives us peace and life, it is written to those who have let the blood of Jesus put their sin away. They've died with Christ, and sin has no dominion over them. Come on, somebody. That's who this chapter is for. He didn't write this to the non-believers. There is peace now. Peace in your heart and peace between you and God. Thank you, Jesus. That's why there's peace. Because there is no condemnation. If there is no peace, it's because there's no God in your life. We truly believe in Christ, therefore we truly live for Christ. Right living produces peace. Produces peace. How come I don't have no peace? Check how you're living. Because right living produces peace. Chapter 8 is written for those whose character is so in Christ, free of feeling guilty, that they walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. To walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit is a privilege, not a duty. As He is condemned no more, neither are we. Thank you, Lord. Because through Jesus, the law of the Spirit, which is to live by faith, set us free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? The old law. If you murder, you too will be murdered. Eye for an eye. Done wrong, we stone you. Come on. The law of sin and death is sin, you die. That's the law of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. There ain't no more of that. Now, because the law of the Spirit, which is to live by faith, we've been set free from that law of sin and death. See, this is where people misunderstand. So they live trying not to be bad. And that's on their mind. And that brings condemnation. Wait, let me say it again. That's where people misunderstand, so they try living not to be bad. And that's on their mind. If I'm doing wrong, am I being bad? And that brings condemnation. Like, oh God, I'm such a wretch, man. I can't do good. God. And now you're all lost. And you're having this fight. Guilt and shame will bring you down. That's why knowing our identity in Christ is so big. See, allow God to do what He wants to do, and it won't be such a struggle to do good. But that takes effort on our part. What effort? To turn away from the bad. Because we don't know how bad we are, how truly bad we are, until we try very hard doing good. Then you're like, man, this is really hard trying to do good. Then you know you're pretty bad. The founder of Patagonia, he wrote this and I liked it. He says, I believe evil is stronger than good, but the only way evil wins is if we do nothing about it. You know, evil is stronger than good, but the only way it wins is if we just sit here and do nothing. You know, then evil wins. But we have something to do on our side, and that's to put our effort. Stay away from the bad. Amen? The law couldn't do it. It can't justify, and it can't sanctify. It can't free us from the guilt or clean us from the sin. The law made nothing perfect, not because it wasn't good, but because the flesh is bad. The law couldn't make us right. It couldn't do it. It can't justify and it can't sanctify. It can't free us from the guilt or clean us from the sin. The law made nothing perfect. Not because it wasn't good, but because the flesh was so bad. Not that the Ten Commandments were not good. It's just it was so hard for man born a born sinner was too weak to carry it out. That's why it couldn't sanctify or justify us. Amen? It's weak, and so the law left us as it found us. But now God sent His Son to be the final sin offering, then rose Him from the dead. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 1, verse 3. In the Message Bible, this is so good. This is what the Bible says. God went for the jugular when He sent His own Son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote or unimportant. In His Son Jesus, He personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now, what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. God went for the jugular when He sent His own Son. That's so strong, church. But now God sent His Son to be the final sin offering, then rose Him from the dead. And now, if you truly believe that, you have been given the Holy Spirit to be the power in our new life and to walk according to the Spirit and not to the flesh. If we believe now the law of Spirit, the law of the Spirit, which is to live by faith, faith that God sent His Son down, crucified, and rose Him from the dead. If you believe that, then you no longer will live in, by the law of the sin and death. So, because I'm not afraid of dying no more now. God went for the jugular, and He didn't want us no more in condemnation. He didn't want us going to and fro. He didn't want us straddling the fence no more, man. He wanted us in. So He sent Jesus down to die. And if we believe that, then we will have life. Amen. See, there are two kinds of people that we spoke of here. Those in the flesh and those in the spirit. Those who are in Christ and those who aren't. See, you have faith or you don't. You know, either you're in or you're out. Believe and be free. If you believe Jesus died on the cross, sin will no longer have a hold on you and death will no longer paralyze you, because you know you will be at a better place. You'll be at peace between you and God. So there's a peace now. No more fretting, dying, and stuff. I'm gone. Dude, I told Maria one time, what would you do if I got in a car accident and died? She goes, tell Jesus I said hi. I wanted to hear, I'll be sad. And she goes, tell Jesus I said hi. See, God, Paul is saying, there's no in-betweeners. You know, you may think you're all right, but to think that is foolish. You may be fooling others, but you're not fooling God. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. In Isaiah 29:13, he says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We don't want to be like that, church. Be sold out the whole route. If we just believe, then we'll be free and at peace with God and peace with ourselves. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind, remember the mind. Remember Joyce Meyer's book. Does anybody know it? The mind is the battlefield. C.S. Lewis said, the body won't go unless the mind tells it to go. The flesh is about the flesh, what the flesh wants. The spirit is about what God and what God wants. The flesh brings death. Come on, somebody. Drugs, alcohol, fornication, disease, bad choices, enemies, trauma, debt. The spirit brings life and peace. Because what are the fruits of the spirit? Let's go over that. Galatians 5:22. It's a common scripture. He says, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There is no law of sin and death. There is no law about these things. This is what the Spirit brings. If we're living by the Spirit, we'll be living in that. Who wouldn't want that? I want to be in love. I want to be joyful. I want to be peaceful. Forbearance, kind, good, faithful, gentle, and have self-control. Then it goes over, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's the acts of the flesh. All that is what our flesh desires. Isn't that sick? Isn't that mad? Were we mad? The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. What does that mean? That the mind that is on fleshly things has no time for God, or puts no time away for God. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Things about church anger it. Sitting in church, he's hostile. The mind governed by the flesh, it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Why come if you're not coming to please God or try to please God? Why are you coming to church if you're not here to learn or try to please God? Why are you here? You, however, are not in the realm of flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. Verse 9. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. If we've lived our life in sin and the sickness or something of our sinful life or sinful past, even dirty of our sin, you know, we could still be born again at 35 years old. We could still come and be given a new life. Never too late to decide to live for God. But why? Then why should I serve God right now? Why don't I just wait till I'm on my deathbed? Because you might not make it to your deathbed. Because we don't know the time or day when Jesus will come. You know, we best be ready. We best be ready. I want to be living right. I want to play it safe. Be right with God. If anyone acknowledges that God lives with them, God is in them. Well, let's go to verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. Amen. So again, if he is condemned no more, then neither are we. If Christ be in us, we have now no condemnation. We no longer have to dread the wrath of God. Because we should be living right. We should be living trying to please God. God wants to be loved. And if we love Him, we'll try to please Him.